May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I am excited today, not just because I got back from a good conference this past week, or the fact that we enjoyed a meaningful time with our bishop on Thursday, or even the wonderful wedding that we had with Samantha and Nick just yesterday. I am excited because our lectionary compilers finally included the whole text of our psalm appointed for today, Psalm 98. So we don't have to turn to the back of our prayer books as we have been doing for the past few weeks. And on top of that, I'd also like to say I am excited over the kind of God that we discover in Psalm 98. This is a God who is worthy of our highest praise and adoration. Someone once told the Reverend Nicky Gumbel of Holy Trinity, Brompton, he was pointing at an auto body shop, and he said, "I know what goes on in there." But then he started pointing to a church, and he said, I don't have any idea what goes on in there. And I think sometimes Christians have no idea what is going on in a place like this, or at least what we're supposed to do at a time like this, when we're gathered in worship for word and prayer and sacrament. Some of us may think that we're here to be entertained, or maybe to fulfill some duty, or maybe even to earn some brownie points for heaven. But point of fact, we are gathered here primarily to worship and honor God with our lives, our substance, and words and songs of praise. We are here to worship the triune maker, redeemer, and restorer of all things. In particular, Psalm 98 celebrates a God who works for and wins salvation for his covenant people, who inspires creative praise, and who establishes justice throughout the earth. Verses 1 through 4, or if you decide later on to look in your Bibles at home, verses 1 through 3 in most translations, these opening verses tell us that we should worship God because he has won the victory of our salvation. The next three verses tell us we should worship God because he inspires a creative vision of his supremacy over all things. And then the last three verses tell us we should worship God because he ushers in the verified justice of his sovereignty. Salvation, supremacy, sovereignty. So let's take a look at these wonderful reasons to adore and praise our amazing Lord. First, the victory of salvation. Jesus won our rescue by his cross and resurrection. Now, in the psalmist's time, he had yet to experience that full-bodied saving work of God. He knew God primarily as one who worked in covenant acts with his chosen people, Israel. God made and fulfilled precious promises to a specific group, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But at the same time, he also vowed to extend those promises one day to all the people of the earth. Today, in Christ Jesus, we are now beneficiaries of God's saving work. How remarkable to think that God took a ragtag bunch of people and bring his rescuing love for all of humanity through them. It's good to note also that in our common prayer version of the psalm, it translates it as victory. That word is usually translated as salvation in most other translations. Now, some theological students might criticize our Book of Common Prayer version as deciding for us what view of salvation we should espouse ahead of time. But I think if we lean in the direction of one of my favorite recent authors, the Reverend Fleming Rutledge, then we do well to incorporate all of the biblical visions that we see of God's rescuing work. God ransoms us. Jesus shows us the way to live. He also wins the victory over Satan, sin, and the grave. Our Lord takes the just penalty that we deserve. There are so many different ways that the Bible describes what the life, death, and resurrection of our Savior did that we just can't camp out on only one image to the exclusion of all the others. So I am more than happy to talk about the victory of Jesus as much as I am about talking about how Jesus pays my debts. The point is to savor and appreciate what our Messiah has done for us. The old, old story of Christ's saving work shouldn't just be an old, old story. It should be fresh and new every time that we read it in the Bible, every time we hear it when we're gathered here on Sunday, each time we think about it in our prayers, each time we participate in it in and again around His table. When we think about the goodness of Jesus, who saved us from all the woes and of this sin-soaked world, we should be overjoyed. We should worship the Lord because of His saving victory. Moving then to the middle of the psalm, we get a chance to see such praise played out. It's a vision of God's supremacy. The Spirit inspires the psalmist and his hearers to offer creative responses to God and His rule in their lives. We read about lyres and timbrels and harps, and we can imagine what a scene that must have been at the temple to hear King David's orchestra and chorus in full swing. But the musical highlights that the psalm mentions aren't the only ways that they could have praised God back then. There were artistic adornments that you could find all over the temple. You could even see people who were gathering there to offer their prayers, whether spontaneous or liturgical, heartfelt no matter what. And then there were smells of incense and burnt offerings and just simply the huddled masses of those yearning to breathe God's freedom. And then there were the acts of kindness and restitution that were being done by penitents and pilgrims alike. In every way imaginable, God's people were offering of their time, talent, and treasure to honor God, not only with their lips, but in their lives. Our Lord likewise wants honest and meaningful responses of praise from us. Something from the heart. Something that takes our best efforts, but relies solely on Christ's grace for their acceptance. Not everyone is a musician. You might be one who offers more of a joyful noise at the opening hymn instead of a sweet melody. But there are all sorts of ways you can worship God that shows the sincerity of your devotion, as well as the creative spark of the indwelling Spirit. You have gifts to offer. Even if you're not as physically active as you used to be, the Lord will hear your earnest prayers and show you how you can serve Him in meaningful and effective ways. If what you have to offer genuinely comes from the heart, then the Lord will receive your worship. Creative worship for you may look artistic, simple, unique, But it should always be a true expression of what your heart really feels for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Finally, we end with verses that describe the verified justice of our sovereign God. God is sovereign, in control of all, the head honcho, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. There is nothing beyond the reach of our Lord's hand. And there is no creature in heaven or on earth beyond the sway of our divine majesty. That means our loving Father will bring about the restoration of all things at the final judgment. God will indeed rectify every wrong and eliminate any damage or vestige of sin that remains. Now, judgment is often seen in our culture as something negative. We hate when people are being judgmental. We avoid being held accountable. And we certainly balk at the very term obedience, let alone its practice. On top of that, we have this cultural caricature of the hellfire and brimstone preacher, someone who I have yet to truly meet in the church. I have met people, however, who make snide comments about someone's lack of being part of their crowd, which of course they always demonstrate by their virtue signaling, or those who show little forgiveness for those who have hurt us or others, even though Jesus demands it of us. So such worry over God's judgment, which the proverbial gloom and doom preacher reveals, shows us that many people are either, one, duped by a false vision of what preaching is compared to what it is in reality, or are genuinely wrestling with the Spirit's conviction in their hearts, so much so that they start to worry about it. But as a believer, you have no need to fear God's judgment. It's the second chance for an ideal world that we've all been waiting for. One where real justice finally happens. Oh, for a day when no children's bellies would go hungry, no aging bodies would ache, no hearts break with loneliness or despair. Oh, for an everlasting age when tribalistic division and conflicts would cease, when corrupt games of one-upsmanship would no longer perpetuate, when all that is good and true and beautiful would be valued over and above that which is just expedient or crassly profitable. When we're honest about the perfect world that we long for, it's usually closer to God's promised new heavens and new earth than it is for some utopia that well-meaning people try to force upon this fallen world. Even the live and let live world, which I think I'd prefer until Jesus returns, that's just merely a stopgap till the kingdom of God comes to its full fruition in creation. I'd rather no sickness, poverty, or war ever haunt us again. Only a just judge can bring divine order to this broken world. Thanks be to God, just such a world is coming. This morning, I hope you see the vision that the psalmist sees. He sees a God whose covenant promise brings full salvation and victory over every evil and ill. He sees the splendor of God inspiring people to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. He sees the perfect end for which all of creation groans, when the Lord will set right every wrong, even in the most wretched places in our world. That, my friends, is a vision of God worthy of all worship and devotion. That is the Lord who deserves our highest praise. Let us pray. Sovereign, saving, and supreme Lord of all, we often fail to savor your worth and to show forth the praise due your name. Inspire us with the psalmist's vision, confident in the saving victory of Jesus, inspired by the Spirit to offer our finest worship, and assured you will indeed set every wrong right, beginning in our own hearts. Father, grant us such a vision that we might worship you aright. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen.